My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you around the NFL right now. A couple of interesting things happening as we're speaking, Figgy. But we got to start with the Hall of Fame. We're going to dig in a little more at 140 as it pertains to Andre Johnson and some of the great things that he's done off the field that have led this organization to where it is now. It resonated, man. It was sincere. It was real. It was from the heart. Andre Johnson's speech was not anything like, wow, you know, what a orator, you know. It was just solid. It checked all the boxes. It was, like I said, from the heart. But he twice said the same thing that I think really is going to go down as kind of what Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame entrance was all about.
I can't lie. I'm happy as hell. I've reached the pinnacle. To be sitting up here with these guys I idolized, guys I wanted to be like, and now for them to be my teammates. And like Pep said and some of the other guys said, what we miss about the game, it's not playing, it's the locker room. You don't understand the bus rides, the plane rides, just going out to eat, things of that nature. People don't understand that. And you spend more time with your teammates more than you do with your family.
Boy, that's the truth. But that was only the first time he said, I'm happy as hell.
I'll end off with this. I'm happy as hell again to be your first Pro Football Hall of Fame. Thank you.
We're happy as hell, too.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think, like I said, it wasn't no wow factors like the other one.
It was just wasn't flashy. Awesome.
But if you know Andre Johnson,
yeah, it was him.
And know the type of person he is, this speech was amazing.
Yeah.
This was amazing for him. He opened up. He wasn't too long like the other ones, but this was perfect coming from somebody like Andre Johnson, who's known to be a little laid back and quiet.
Yeah, like people who know him, yourself, myself, a lot of people listening, a lot of people there. Or at least you feel like you know him. You walked away from that thinking, well, that was Andre.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Andre.
And then the other impressive thing is the teleprompter went out.
Yeah.
During it.
Yeah.
And he went off the cuff after that. So I think, to me, that showed a lot even more. Like, people, I didn't even know until afterwards where somebody said it went out. I'm like, damn. It sounded like he just kind of memorized it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, he did an amazing job.
That was awesome. Around the NFL, this is just something that is happening. It happened in the last hour, so they've been talking about the Olympics are going on, and today they talked about how the torch was going to be passed to LA. The 2028 Olympics are going to be in Los Angeles. Okay, so the NFL and the United States Olympic Committee dropped a video of Jalen Hurts throwing a it wasn't real, but throwing a football that's on fire into the LA Coliseum.
You sure it wasn't real?
cauldron. They're teasing that flag football is going to be in for sure in the 2028 LA games also. That's pretty sweet. Like, yeah. I know they're talking about it. They've done it. They've had it in certain of, you know, certain places, you know, here in France, they're playing it here, but officially in Los Angeles, that's going
to
be pretty sweet.
I would like to see that, man.
I would too. Then you have to ask the question, who's playing?
Yeah, because I'm like, I mean, what countries are qualified to play?
Yeah.
That, because, you know, a lot of places ain't playing football like mm-hmm. that, but I would like to, I would be locked into that.
Yeah, I would absolutely. All right, so I also talked about this. Another safety is off the market. It's not Justin Simmons. Quandre Diggs is headed to the Titans. 1 year contract, $5 million. Diggs deal guarantees $3 million with some additional bonuses in there, if depending on playing time. Here's where we're talking about it. What I want to talk about, and we just heard Jonathan Alexander say, "No, I think they feel pretty good about it. Like, maybe they're kind of giving Kalen Bullock see exactly what he was about before they made any decisions on Justin Simmons." He doesn't think the Texans are really going to be in the market. I'm not 100% on that, because he's still on the street, especially if you can get like a 1 year contract somewhere in that area. You're making what you think is going to be a big run. Bring in everybody you can.
Yeah, I think after Jay Ace pretty much said that, I kind of lean towards him. I feel like they are comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they would have been signed them, or at least had some type of conversation. Maybe he don't want to go to camp, but it would have been some type of conversation. And I feel like they're super confident. It feel like the thing with the defensive lineman when Autry got suspended,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, they already got Jerry Hughes, so no J.J. Watt. I feel like they.
Well, I don't know about that, but we'll see.
I saw him. I ain't mentioned this, but I saw him up close and personal.
Yeah.
My man looked retired.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why do you say
his
that?
His body looked
you saw the pictures too?
That's the thing, man. Yeah. I don't know. I ain't trying to say my man used AI. He was still cocky, but he just looked like a retired lineman, man. He looked like he about 245. And I just like seeing him in person, because we know he ain't gonna be on the edge that much because of Neil and Will Anderson. But I was looking at him like, I don't see that guy playing in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just his body, he looked like he in retirement mode. Mm-hmm. He kind of looked like he got a body like Seth Payne.
Yeah.
So
all those linemen, man, look
they slim down after they retirement. So that's how
Chris Myers looked thin.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that he's not big at all or anything, but he don't look like that old J.J. Watt.
Yeah. Man. Well, we'll see.
I don't know, man. It might be over with for him.
Remember last week when I guess Brandon Ayuk jogged out to the middle of the field and made all the rounds? He was like shaking hands with the head with Shanahan and general manager and all that. It seemed like a deal was on the place. Well, today, Andrew Filippone from Pittsburgh.
93.7 The Fan.
Yeah. Quote, "The Steelers are working hard on a trade for Brandon Ayuk, and a deal could get done soon. The 49ers now seem motivated to get something done." So either something happened with that contract negotiation or whatever, but, I mean, Brandon Ayuk is really good. I don't know if he's like, oh, my God, this is a blockbuster, but it's pretty big. It's pretty big for the Steelers in that division.
It kind of showed me that they, because I wasn't sure what they was going to do.
Yeah.
But it seemed like they always kind of go all in. Like they bring in anybody. They bring in Patrick Queen on a cheaper than expected deal. They remember a couple years ago, they traded for the Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
They gave up a first round pick, couple first round pick, whatever it was. So, yeah, they always bring in talent, and that's why they always in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the quarterback situation going to be.
Yeah, that's a minor detail there.
But, yeah, man, they outside of that, it seems like they got a nice little roster, man.
Yeah, they got a nice little roster. The other thing I didn't mention with Diggs signing with the Titans, they just keep acting like a team that feels like they're going to be a contender.
See, I'm glad you said that because they kind of make me a little bit nervous. Like, I'm not saying they're going to run the table and win the division, but that team could be the team that's in the way. Where, you know, they might not win 10
plus
games.
They're going to be a pain in the ass is what they're going to be.
I can see them squeezing. I can see them going 7-10.
Yeah.
And just kind of being in the way.
Yeah.
They not that team that's, because I thought they was going to tank and try to rebuild and all that stuff. No, they going all, they spending bread. They bring in, what's it? Dog, I can't think of his name. But what's the safety that played for Seattle? Then they bring in
They did. And now I'm drawing a blank.
But they bringing in people.
Everybody's yelling at the radio.
I know. They bringing in people.
Yeah.
So I can see them being a pain in the ass that's just right there in the way.
And we don't know anything about their offensive coordinator. I mean, their new head coach.
The quarterback.
Who's been a great offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't know what Will Levis going to do.
Yeah.
But I can see them, you know, with the talent they bringing in, just being in the way.
Yeah. You brought this up. Did you see the Texans Madden ratings?
I did.
This is interesting.
It's good, but also it was an eye roll for me. I don't know what they thinking about with this, man.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to look at the Houston Texans Madden ratings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go down the list of the important ones. So Laremy Tunsil is the highest rated one. He's a 94.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs is a 92. Joe Mixon is a 91. Danielle Hunter is an 88. I thought he could have.
These all seem okay so far. I understand.
I thought Danielle could have been at least a 90, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Stingley is an 88. Nico is an 83,
maybe that one a little low.
Yeah. Will Anderson is an 83.
Same.
And I'm kind of like, maybe they want to see what he do his rookie year. And you notice I ain't mentioned the name yet.
I know.
We had Will Anderson, 83. Shaq Mason is 82.
Yeah.
I still didn't mention that name. CJ Stroud is an 81.
So, that's just bizarre.
Yeah, I don't get. And look, I'm not saying he should have been a.
Damian Pierce is an 80.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm not saying he need to be in the 90s or anything like that, but I would have thought he'd been maybe an 85.
Maybe that 88, 80, or maybe up there with Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, 85, 86.
Yeah.
But you got, like you said, Danico Autry is an 81.
Yeah.
That's the same as CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Another one that was kind of troubling a little bit was Titus Howard. I don't know if y'all talked about it, but Titus Howard is a 71.
Yeah.
I don't know if they just doing it because of his jersey number or what. But he's a 71, and Blake Fisher is a 72.
So the rookie is higher.
Is higher
than Titus Howard.
Yeah. So if you, I don't know how Madden is right now, but if Madden is how I used to play it, then Blake Fisher is starting over. They start the better player with the better rating.
Yeah.
So he would start over Titus
automatically.
Howard. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, another thing I want to add on is just that suppose the guy that does the ratings is a Cowboys fan.
Ah, oh, get out.
Where'd
of here.
You see that? Really?
It's a whole thing. They talk about it on Reddit, and I pretty sure I saw it on Twitter too. But the guy that does the Madden ratings, he's a Cowboys fan, so he I feel like that has a lot to do with, you know, maybe like the Texans and like certain teams.
Maybe.
So
I hadn't thought about that.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
He's certainly not a John Weeks fan.
Yeah,
John Weeks.
Yeah,
go ahead.
My man is a 27.
He's a 27.
Oh, man. Man, shout out to my man Weeks.
If you don't think that's going to be mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. But I was looking at all of these ratings, and especially the quarterback ratings. And I'm like, let me look at all the people that's actually, all the quarterbacks that's getting paid right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what their ratings are.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually went to CBS Sports to see this. And so I kind of compared them versus the Madden ratings. So Joe Burrow, I think he's tied for like top guy, top paid quarterback. He's a 93, which, I'm fine with.
Now, Mahomes was a 99?
Yeah, Mahomes is a 99, so I'll get to him in a minute.
Yeah.
But Trevor Lawrence and Jordan Love is also tied with Joe Burrow as top paid QBs. Trevor Lawrence is a 77.
Bro, that's a sign. That's a sign.
Jordan Love is an 81, so I feel like that's a little consistent.
But that's kind of like CJ.
Because they kind of similar, so I can see that he just got paid early.
Yeah.
Tua is next, and he's at 88.
These are the in order the highest paid.
Yeah, in order the highest paid. So yeah. Tua is at 88. Jared Goff is at 82. Justin Herbert is at 87. Lamar Jackson is a 98.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts is at 86. Kyler Murray, he's a 77.
Damn.
Deshaun Watson is a 75.
That sounds about right.
Kirk Cousins, an 84. And now I get to Patrick Mahomes, who's a 99.
So of the top paid quarterbacks, in terms of Madden rating, Mahomes is first, but he's 10th in top paid.
Yeah.
Or no, he's worse than 10th. 3, 6, 9, 10, 11th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we all know he's the best quarterback in the league, and he's the 11th highest paid QB. And you got Trevor Lawrence is tied for first.
How about Trevor Lawrence at 77 and Deshaun,
man,
at 75.
Yeah, Kyler Murray at 77.
Man, I hadn't played Madden since my kids were kids.
Man,
and so yeah, are you gonna play it?
I said I wasn't because I feel like they keep doing the same stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to get suckered in right during that week, so I'm probably gonna buy it and play. I've been playing. NCAA football.
Yeah, that's the thing going off the charts.
I've been having a blast with that.
And you're not
man.
Getting the good teams. You're building the.
I've been building the program. So I had Kent State. I had Kent State at one point. So I got them into the national championship game, but I lost. And also, I've been doing like a little dynasty mode where I play as a player.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Road to Glory?
Road to Glory, yeah. So I was a quarterback.
You play, Chris?
Oh, yeah, I play.
Yeah, so I was a quarterback, Figgy Fig, the quarterback.
What team is yours?
Texas State, baby. You already know.
Oh,
eat them up, cats. I already have two national championships. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so I started as, I forgot what they call it, but I ended up going to, I want to say, where did I start? It might have been Kent State, but it was a small school. And I could not get on the field, man. So I spent like two or three years not getting on the field. And the second year or the fourth year, I ended up going to another school. Mm-hmm. I forgot what school it was. But long story short, I ended up at, you know what? I went to Eastern Michigan.
Okay.
And then I balled out there. And then I went to the transfer portal. You'll like this. I ended up at A&M.
Oh, yeah?
So I went to A&M. Won a national championship.
Damn right
you
did.
Yep. So that was the end of my career. I balled out.
Oh, that's good. So it's out already?
NCAA football.
No, Madden.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not out yet. I think it come out this month, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, it come out this month.
But I will say, I would wait because usually, like towards the end of the year, like towards the end of the season, you can get it for free.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how.
You can get it for free. It sounds like you're hacking.
No. It's just like if you have like EA Play, there's like a thing.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You can download it for free. So you're basically paying for like the
subscription.
Monthly. Yeah, the subscription, but you get the games. EA games are free.
Okay.
One more here around the NFL. And this is maybe more me than others, but I know other people thought of this, at least some. So Devin Hester, obviously also inducted into the Hall of Fame. But I found it really interesting when he said that he may be the first returner inducted into the Hall of Fame, but he shouldn't be the last. And so a bunch of names started popping into my mind, including Billy White Shoes Johnson, who they have been, and it's going to have to be the Veterans Committee now, but they've been trying and trying and trying. Maybe John McClain gets involved and maybe even gets some thanks this time.
Get a mention.
on the podium. But who else? I think Dante Hall would be mentioned. You mentioned Josh Cribbs earlier, and that's a good one.
Yeah, I looked that up. I think a lot of people started bringing him up once Devin Hester said that. Mm-hmm. And I started looking at his highlights. I'm like, I forgot about this.
Yeah.
I looked up his stat. I think I want to say he like second all time in returning yards.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's somebody you would consider. So, yeah.
Billy White Shoes Johnson, Dante Hall, Gale Sayers, and you know, if you want to go back in time, Brian Mitchell, Josh Cribbs, a lot of those guys for sure. All right, so John Lopez, Figgy Fig here with you, and the internet is going nuts. The worst call in the biggest moment of a guy's life, and take that, Australia. Yes, I'm looking at you. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
I got the internet going nuts.
So how do we feel about Benjamin Albright? Big time NFL guy in Denver. He's had his ups and downs. Let's put it that way. He's been a little bit weird.
Professional kind of, and personal.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But how do we feel about a report from Benjamin Albright?
It's very hit or miss.
Yeah.
Because he said a lot of stuff and it clearly didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I ain't going to knock him for that, but.
But he said a lot of stuff and he's tight with the Broncos.
Yeah.
That's where he mainly, that's the team he mainly covers.
Yeah.
So the reason I bring that up and want to have that backdrop of, you know, take it for how you want, but he has reported today about an hour ago that Justin Simmons has had roughly a dozen offers. He's on the street to sign with an NFL team, looking for the right situation. And then he says, probably signs this week, AFC South.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Mm. So AFC South is where your Houston Texans are. If it's the Colts, dude.
Oh, man.
If he's right and it's the Colts. Yeah, I don't know. That's a scary team.
Yeah. How confident are you that it could possibly be the Houston Texans?
Because hopeful, not confident.
Okay, we just had Jonathan Alexander on and
yeah.
He pretty much said he thinks they're comfortable
in that room.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if they would bring him in like right now or this week.
Play offense and defense at the same time. You know, keep him away from anybody else.
Yeah.
Bring him in.
Just bring him in for the hell of it.
Yeah. So this had the internet going nuts. And I don't know if I feel sorry for the announcer, Lee Dippy, of the men's 100-meter final, or if there's no excuse for what he did. So if you're watching the 100-meter final, and obviously one of the premier events at the Olympics, he had the call. He had the call on one of the biggest races of, well, the biggest race of all these guys' lives to this point, and he got it completely wrong.
There's an Olympic gold medal waiting for somebody who wants it the most. Now Thompson starts to line up. Curley's going with him. This is close. Jamaica's going to do it. Kishane Thompson is a gold medalist on debut.
We thought it was going to take 9-7 to win. Guess
guess what he just ran? 9.78.
Come on, man!
But it was a lean at the tape by Thompson. Visually, we think he got it. They're working on the photo.
Fred Curley pushed him all the way. Noah Lyles is looking anxiously.
Yeah, Thompson didn't win it. They called it the race. It's unbelievable.
It sounded like a call for Thompson.
Yeah,
that's what it sounded like.
They said he won.
If I would have just heard that and didn't know the outcome, I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, salute to Thompson.
Yeah.
Pulling off that W.
Yeah. Didn't win it. Nah. Mm. Noah Lyles did.
Yeah. Oh, I thought he's looking anxiously.
they didn't even mention his name until at the very end. He's looking at the photo.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, at first I'm like, I kind of feel sorry for the dude because he's obviously very well-known announcer, does a lot of does some auto racing, does that. And usually does an okay job, I guess. You know, maybe not. Maybe I don't pay enough attention to it. But this is audio for the archives for the rest of your life, for the time that you won the gold medal.
Yeah.
And you don't even, they don't even mention your name.
Yeah. And that was a legendary finish, too.
The best ever.
Yeah. And even outside of him, they going to play this call regardless. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
That's the call. So I just don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't get it, man. I kind of feel bad that's the call that's going to be remembered.
Yeah. And I just, like I said, I don't think I feel sorry for him. At first I did, but if you don't know, don't say. Mark Vanner is probably screaming at his radio right now. You know, just say it's a photo or too close to call or whatever. Yeah. Not Thompson wins the gold medal.
And that would have been perfect to kind of build it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, wow, it was so close. We're not sure who got it. Like, we're waiting to see. That could have been the perfect time to just build it up.
Yeah.
And then when they find out, then just give that dude some love.
Yeah. Best rivalry in the Olympics right now, like, not even close, is USA versus Australia swimming. Like, I know, you know, none of us are, like, you know, huge experts and huge, you know, everyday fans of swimming. But if you've been watching the Olympics at all, you've been watching it.
Yeah.
Like the Australians took a big lead early in the medal count and the gold medal count in the pool. It's one of the most fierce rivalries. We played that last week about
Michael Phelps.
Yeah. We played that woman saying, I hate when the Americans ring the cowbell and all that. Yeah. Well, it came down to one race. It came down to the 4x100 relay, and if the Americans win this race, they win the gold medal count, they win the swimming medal count, and they beat the Australians.
Olympics, looking for one final gold. She's going to get it, and it's going to be a world record for the Americans. Gold medal number 8. And the much talked about gold medal duel between the United States and Australia is officially over, and it comes down to the final race to give the Americans the edge.
Yeah, baby. That was awesome. Those races are...
Yeah, no, that was cool.
They've been...
That wasn't even close either.
No, that one wasn't close.
I'm like, man.
Katie Ledecky, see her shaking the cowbell? Yeah. She wasn't doing that just for her own good.
Yeah, no, it was going down perfect. I was surprised it wouldn't be more cowbells in there after that.
Yeah, she was shaking it right in the Aussie's face.
Yeah, what I like is when people complain about somebody doing something.
Yeah, then they do
it
more.
Somebody, I love it, man. I'm like D'Amico Ryans. I love it.
Yeah, and this was right in your wheelhouse. I actually didn't watch this live. But I followed up with it and watched it. So Novak Djokovic, the Joker, is 37. He had gone into the Olympics in 2012, and now 12 years later, and never won a gold medal.
I thought that 2012 opening ceremony in London, carrying the flag for my country, the opening ceremony, opening the Olympic Games, is the best feeling that an athlete could have. Until today, this kind of supersedes everything that I imagined, that hoped that I could experience and that I could feel. And the fact that I won the bronze in the first Olympic Games and ever since then failed to win a medal, and, you know, played 3 out of 4 Olympic Games in semifinals and couldn't overcome that obstacle. And then now at age 37, you know, with 21-year-old that is probably the best player in the world right now, winning Roland Garros and Wimbledon back-to-back and playing incredible tennis, just when I take everything in consideration, this probably is the biggest sporting success I've ever had in my career.
Dude, it's amazing. Like I don't know if you saw the video. He was like shaking on the ground. He was so emotional. And he's not an emotional guy.
Yeah, no, he's not. I think, I don't know if it's because he wins so much, where it's just like kind of like how Tom Brady is.
Yeah.
Whenever he wins a Super Bowl, he just like, yep, like here's another one.
That gold medal hits different.
Yeah, this one, you would have thought this was his first time ever winning anything.
Yeah.
So, nah, salute to him, man. One of the GOATs.
And Scottie Scheffler, too. Scottie Scheffler was crying on the medal podium. Dude's won two majors this year. Obviously, he's the number one player in the world. Both these guys have more money than they'll ever spend. And dude was just balling on the medal stand when he won the golf.
Yeah, man. If you look at his timeline, he went to jail, came back, and played. And so, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Going from jail to winning the gold medal, man, who would have thought it?
Who would have thought it? All right. College football. We're less than 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks.
It's right around the corner,
from the opening. So the preseason coaches poll came out just about 30 minutes ago or so. We'll give you some of the big ones here. But hey, Texas going into the SEC. Georgia is number one with 46 first place votes. Ohio State, is number two with 7 first place votes. Oregon 3, Texas 4 has a first place vote. Alabama, Ole Miss 6, Notre Dame facing the Aggies to open the season 7. Michigan is 8 with 1 first place vote. Penn State, Florida State round out the top 10. In terms of locals here, we have a lot of LSU fans. They are 12 in the coaches poll, ranked number 12. Oklahoma 16, Texas A&M 20. So yeah, man, it's happening. College football, like no excuse for Ohio State this year, right?
Nah,
zero.
They actually went all in this offseason.
Yeah.
So nah, it should be no excuse.
Zero excuses for Ohio State. We'll see. Texas, man, got that number 4 ranking, one first place vote, which I don't know who that was. And they're coming into the SEC.
I want to see what Michigan do this year, man, because it's no Jim Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. He gone. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of curious how they gonna look, especially with that head coach of theirs.
Yeah, and going into the SEC, Georgia. These are the SEC teams in the preseason coaches top 24, 25. Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, LSU, Missouri, Tennessee, Oklahoma, A&M. They got 9.
Man.
9 SEC teams in the top 25. I'm telling you, I think Texas is really, really good, and they could easily make a run.
They could easily not make a run.
That SEC wears on your ass, man.
I would be nervous going into the SEC. I'm fine with my school being in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Got 9. I might have missed one. It might be 10, but they got at least 9.
And then even the other ones that's probably not ranked are still good.
Oh yeah, you go into you go into some of these stadiums. Yeah,
Arkansas,
go into Auburn.
Yeah,
tell me how that is.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me how Auburn's gonna work out for you.
Even them other people that's low or other schools that's lower ain't no joke.
Yeah. Dog, it's gonna be a fun college football season.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So excited. Who does Ohio State open with? Nobody.
I forgot.
I shouldn't call him a nobody, but
yeah,
we'll see. Notre Dame and A&M opening on I believe August 31st. So. Coming right up. All right, so we got to talk about this. Mentioned it briefly earlier, and I think it's really important. Obviously Hall of Famer Andre Johnson. We played the Happy as Hell cuts, et cetera, et cetera. So on the field moments, we talked about those last week. I got to talk about these off the field moments. Why are the Texans so relevant right now? It's because of Andre Johnson, and I'm going to explain exactly why next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
How you feeling about old Chris Santiago this week?
He a beast, man.
How about that? Him. He's going to Wally Pip your ass.
You going to take my job, man.
let's not get to it.
They're
going to throw me on Area 45.
Hey, is that an insult? I don't know. Chris Santiago joining us behind the glass this week and next week. Figgy Fig going to be in this studio. You're not behind the glass right now.
It feels so weird, man. I keep getting ready to...
Yeah, you. One time you actually reached to your right like you were going to go to break.
I did.
That's pretty wild.
And then
wild.
Also, I feel like I'm not doing anything. I'm like, do I need to podcast something? Or
yeah, hit that laptop, man.
Yeah, I feel like I need to be working, doing something else instead of just talking.
Nah, man.
I feel like y'all got it easy.
Oh, get the
just
hell out of here.
Just sitting here just talking and that's it.
We do all
then,
kinds of prep.
Then 2 o'clock. All right, peace.
All right, see you guys later. Cut that
meanwhile,
up for me.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm staying after the show for 2 hours.
Can you
hours.
Give me that audio and that audio and that audio? Yeah, well, just don't tell anybody like I just did. So, yeah, so you and I this week, next week, and Santiago's in this week, next week, in August 19th.
August 19th, man. Mark that on your calendar. I'm super fired up.
Mm-hmm.
We going to have a new host.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all guys noticed. The last couple months.
Get out.
Been sounding a little different.
Get out of town. Get out of town.
Yeah, I haven't seen one text or anything. Just mm-hmm. nobody noticed.
Nobody noticed.
I don't know if you guys noticed.
Hey, show's still kicking butt, that's for sure. That's always good. all right, so I was talking about, we've been talking a lot about Andre Johnson, but, you know, Hall of Fame speech. Let's hear it one more time, Chris, my favorite part.
I'll end off with this. I'm happy as hell again to be your first Pro Football Hall of Famer. Thank you.
Atta baby. That was the moment. I mean, they went nuts. You were there, man.
Yeah.
You and your parents.
Yeah.
Cal and Hannah.
Hey, Mom. But it was amazing, man. Shout out to the traveling Texans and just people, just fans in general that travel out there to Canton
mm-hmm.
just to see that moment. That, man, it was loud. It was a tough weekend because it was a lot of rain and mm-hmm. It was a rain delay, so it didn't start until probably like 2 hours later.
Yeah,
it was a rain delay, but they canceled the game on Thursday. But just everybody just sticking around and going to all the events and being there at the ceremony. And Andre spoke last.
Yeah,
so that's a little tough sitting mm-hmm. around, and sometimes the speeches could be a snooze fest. But when it was time for Andre, when they put his name up there on
everybody,
that board,
everybody up.
It got loud.
Because it was a Houston homecoming in Cleveland.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. It was a lot of people.
Chicago, but that's they don't, you know, they don't get credit, full credit.
Yeah, they 6 hours away.
They can drive there.
Yeah. And they showed up, too. It's going to be interesting to see them play week 2 when they come here.
Yeah.
But, man, Houston, like Andre said, they showed up and showed out. Mm-hmm. That's like the slogan.
Yeah.
So they showed up and showed out. Hopefully they can show. Hopefully Texans fans can show up this year early.
Yeah,
get there early and bring that same energy.
Yeah, so it was fantastic. But all his on the field exploits, you know, and greatness was on display, including the plays we played last week with the Arizona Cardinals and the Washington team and et cetera, the Jacksonville game. But it got me thinking about like the Texans are here, man. Like Andre Johnson getting into the Hall of Fame, like the best word is just like validation. Like that word's thrown around a lot. But the Houston Texans as an organization, they're playing with the big boys now. They got a Hall of Famer. They got high expectations. There's no more, hey, they're a new franchise. I haven't thought they've been a new franchise for probably 5 or 6 years now, if not more. It's like they're at the big table, you know?
Yeah.
And the reason they got here, to me, is Andre Johnson. Like three things that he's done, and you just heard one of them. Like Andre Johnson getting into the Hall of Fame, it is legit now. Like they're in the club. They have a Hall of Famer. You know, they're not cute anymore. They're not young anymore. They're a scary team that everybody in the NFL has to pay attention to.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, like I said, they've been around for a minute now. They, mm-hmm. You can't sit here and say this is a new franchise. And they've been around for a minute. They finally got a Hall of Famer in. And look, they got another one on the way. Mm-hmm. J.J. Watt will be next.
Yeah.
And right now they have a good team. They have a good, scary team that could be around for a long time.
Yeah.
So, it's looking good. This is probably, and you could probably speak to this more since mm-hmm. you've been here longer. But this is probably the best time to be around the Houston Texans right now.
Just I don't think there's any question.
Everything, like the arrow.
There have been some great times.
Yeah. But the arrow is pointed way up, man.
Yeah.
You got, like, all everything gets checked off.
Yeah. So you can thank Andre Johnson for that validation.
He set the table.
That's number one. Number two, it happened on November 17th, 2013. I feel like this is when the organization really started to grow up. And it was a bad time for the Texans, an embarrassing time for the for Bob McNair, who was obviously alive and in charge back then. But so the Texans had these high hopes. Gary Kubiak had gotten this team into the playoffs, big win, the J.J. Watt stuff, you know, the Bengals game and all that. And then there's all this trouble at quarterback. Case Keenum ends up starting for Matt Schaub. Andre Johnson's obviously on the squad. The Texans, you know, won two games and then lost eight in a row. And it just all started spiraling, you know, away. And Andre Johnson, before the game ended, after the Texans had lost their last chance to try to come back and win, walked off the field and everybody noticed because he was all by himself. Everybody in the stadium, television audience, walked off the field in complete frustration, no helmet. And I thought that's when he sent another message. And that was like, we got to do better, man. We got to do better than this. And so Andre, number one, Hall of Fame. Number two, that moment kind of got people expectations high.
Yeah, and I think that's super important because if you know Andre, you know he's low-key, he's quiet. But when it's an issue going on, when something going on, you're going to get to that in a minute for your number one.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to speak up.
Yeah.
And when he speaks, I think somebody, I forgot who said this. It might have been Wade Smith or something like that. But when he speaks, people listen.
Yeah.
And, you know, he might not speak a lot, but when he speak up, people listen.
I mean, Seth Payne was talking this morning about how intimidating he is, but not like in a scary way, just like you better respect this dude.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny, too, because when I was listening to him speak, and he kind of give me, and this is not like a bad thing, but he kind of give me the Jay Prince vibes. he got that same low tone, deep voice as Jay Prince, and Jay Prince talk real slow, where he be like, you know you ain't supposed to be doing that, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's how Andre, he kind of got that low tone. He talk a little slower, but it's powerful.
Yeah.
Where if, you know, a lot of times we see Andre, you know, cool and laid back. But if he's frustrated with something and he's upset about something,
mm-hmm.
he going to keep that same tone. But you're going to be like, oh,
yeah.
It's kind of like that parent. Like my dad, he ain't really disciplined me as much. But
when he
get mad.
Yeah.
Just
the way my dad said it.
Yeah.
That's kind of how Andre is.
Yeah. My mom used to yell all the time. Used to go out one ear through the other. Like, all right, I don't care, whatever. But when my dad stepped in, it's just like, oh, you really in trouble.
This is real.
People used to always say, when Eddie get the yelling, oh, you did something wrong. So that's how Andre is.
So that's two ways that Andre, you know, got the Texans where we are today. And, you know, if you didn't hear earlier, the Texans are going to play their starters on Friday night against the Steelers. So we're going to get a real good look at what this squad looks like. Number one, and we all know what it is. This is not like some big surprise or, you know, unveiling or anything. But it was a tweet. It was a tweet in 2021. And I thought about this specifically because, you know, you saw all these guys and more than I saw because you were there and at the restaurants and at the events and in the Hall of Fame. All the Texans were there for Andre Johnson. The difference is all those same Texans are now back with the Houston Texans. And that's because of Andre Johnson. Jack Easterby, we know the story. We're not going to kind of rehash that. But when you lose, this was a moment like when you lose Andre, you're in trouble. Because Andre, they lost Andre.
Yeah.
And the tweet was, since Jack Easterby has walked into the building, nothing good has happened in or for the organization. And for some reason, someone can't seem to see what's going on. Pathetic and 3 exclamation points. That to me was the moment.
Yeah. And if you look at his Twitter, he don't tweet a lot.
Yeah.
Like I just did one big scroll down with the mouse and I went to 2018. It's 2024 now. So that shows you don't tweet a lot. And he deleted the tweet just to, I guess, get the bad vibes off. But
yeah.
Now his last tweet right now was in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to put that out there, that's like what I said earlier. When he's upset about something and voice it, It's like, oh, nah, man. Like, if you piss Andre off,
yeah,
then, nah, you lost everybody. And, you know, fortunately, he was talking to Cal.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he wasn't a fan of Jack used to be. And he said, man.
No, he said it.
Yeah.
For some reason, someone can't seem to see what's going on.
Yeah.
That someone kinda, is Cal.
Yeah. And now when you look at it, it's like a friend that's dating somebody that's not good for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, man, I don't know what you see in this person.
Yeah.
Like, this person is not good. And now they look like a big happy family now, man. Like Andre, you know, for a minute he wasn't in that building. He was away.
Yeah.
So now it's a big happy family, and he thanked the Menares up on that stage. So
no, everybody's pulling in the same direction.
Yeah. Everything is good now, man. And look, everybody make mistakes. Everybody make bad hires and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the simple fact, Andre, you know, explained that and said, nah, this ain't it. Like, yeah, we got to do something. And they eventually did something, and we all good now.
Yeah. So what was your favorite part?
My favorite part throughout the whole weekend?
Yeah.
I would probably say just being there in front, like, yeah, towards the stage, man. Just sitting around all of these Hall of Famers and just random people.
It had to be really cool for you. Like, coming from Cleveland, and I know you grew up in a tough area, yeah, and then all of a sudden you see yourself in Cleveland Shadow sitting with freaking billionaires,
yeah,
at the Hall of Fame. That had to be really, really cool. I hadn't thought of that.
It was
too
super
much.
Cool. And the other thing is, like, when I went back, if I felt like I mean, it felt like home. But I felt like a visitor coming in.
Nah, you're from Houston, man.
And the thing is, I'm like, man, I told my wife, I'm like, man, I think I just want to go back and take an actual vacation to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And just do all the stuff, like go down to the flats,
mm-hmm,
maybe hit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, just do all of this stuff that I really took for granted.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's a cool place. It was cool with, you know, seeing people I ain't seen in years,
mm-hmm,
just showing me some love and see how far I got.
Yeah.
I was just like, man, I can't believe I'm here. It honestly feel like a dream. It feel like a dream sitting here on a sports talk show. I'm like, I never wanted to do this. And I'm sitting here talking some sports. I'm just like, man.
Damn right you are.
Y'all got my ghetto self up there like this.
You got your ghetto self in Canton, Ohio, in the shadows of, what was your neighborhood called?
I was from 123rd and Leonard Crave.
Okay.
So it was like a rough area on the east side.
No, I know the story.
Yes.
It was a rough area.
Yeah.
But so from the shadows of that, 123rd and Leonard Crave, to Canton, Ohio, literally rubbing elbows, physically rubbing elbows with Cal and Hannah McNair. How about our guy Figgy Fig?
It was great, man.
How about that?
I love it, man. Mm-hmm. I wish we could have hung out a little more, maybe take them to the hood or something so they can see where.
Yeah, you should have driven them by your house.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, we had to hurry up and drive. I was over there. I went over there Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm just like, man, it looked bad.
I gotta get
it
out.
Looked worse over here.
That's like me when I go back to my neighborhood, and it wasn't, probably, I don't know, I've never been to your neighborhood. It wasn't great. It was rough.
Yeah. Yeah,
my neighborhood.
It's actually getting worse.
I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I used to just walk those streets.
Man, I was like 8 years old, just going all over the
place.
Yes,
I would walk to the Boys Club. I used to go, you know, hang out and box and all that stuff at the Boys Club. It was like a mile and a half away through, you know, pretty tough neighborhood.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I don't even want to drive. Yeah. I don't even want to make that drive.
I ain't want to sit in front of the house.
Yeah.
I was just like, no, I'm like, and it's weird too.
I used to walk it, now I'm driving 50 miles an hour just to do the same thing.
I don't know if y'all go through this, but you know how you drive it through a neighborhood,
yeah,
and it seems like everybody turn around and look in your car as you drive it.
Yeah, you're scared.
I'm like, what are
Let's
y'all,
be honest.
I'm like, what are y'all looking at?
Let's be honest about this.
They're looking at you, Figgy.
Nah, Figgy, you showed us around enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard.
You ready to get out of here?
I heard, Ron.
This guy.
I heard.
You hear this guy?
He was showing you all around, wasn't he?
He showed us around enough.
Yeah.
He tried to get us late night.
Yeah.
Saturday night, he tried to get us.
He was just trying to round you all up.
Hey, pulled up. Hey, God bless Parker. He pulled up. Figgy pulled up. Clint. You had left by now. Figgy pulled up at this spot because I want to get something to eat after eating. And he left us. SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And we was in this traffic. Figgy pulled up at this spot, said now. He gave that announcement. Clint. I know it wasn't directed towards me.
Yeah.
He gave that announcement. He said, hey, man,
It's a little hood in here.
Yeah, I did because I that's
hey,
what
and that's, then, hey, then Figgy said, hey, hold up, let me go check it. Let did, me go I check did. And see if the kitchen.
That's
the kitchen.
Don't get out of the car.
So it was like a bar with a kitchen next to it. So I'm like, let me check before I had them go all in. And look, that area is no white folks in that area at all. So I'm like, if we see this tall, little lanky white guy walking around.
Yeah.
I'm just like, man.
He would have fit right in.
Yeah. I'm like, I ain't got nothing on me. So yeah, I can't. Nice, yeah. All I got is these.
I would say he the boss now.
Dude.
Yeah.
Shoot. If you drew up a picture.
And I knew I know he ain't talking to me.
All right. If you were, I wasn't even there. But I guarantee you, anybody in that place, if they drew up a picture of that's the mark. It would be Parker. It would be a picture of Parker.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm
that's the mark right
and
there.
And see, me being from Cleveland, like, I'm fine over there, but it's a dude with green and purple hair. They're like, I know his ass ain't from around here. I've never seen this guy around here. So they might try to try me.
That man. I got to give props to Figgy. And there are not a lot of people. And you've been in this industry longer than I have.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler has this in him. You know, there are people who are just fearless and get into a lot of mm-hmm. a lot of just stuff because they just roll through. Figgy is fearless. Like some people are afraid of being told no.
Mm-hmm.
Figgy is just gonna go and just walk through until somebody tell him not to stop.
Own the place.
Man, I follow Figgy like he was a fullback. Yeah. We was in some area. I know good hell well we didn't have the credentials to go with.
Yeah.
I know we didn't. Because we were standing right next to JJ.
He was sitting next to Calendar.
I know that. We were in there.
You could have been sitting next to her. Honestly, if you was following me.
I walked right in there.
Yeah.
And I turned my credential around so they couldn't see exactly what it said, but it looked like I got a credential. Just walked through there like I was supposed to. And I said, I know I'm not supposed to be in here.
Hey, I looked over. I sat outside and my elbow was on the fence with a good little angle right there. And I looked over there, and there was the only two in there with that green media lanyard around their neck. I said, boy, they're sticking out like a sore thumb, man.
That's why we sent them.
I just walked right past him like, who are you? I'm like, yeah, media. Yep. I just kept going. I ain't even stopped.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.